Welcome back.
What I'd like to see, Canada become our 51st state. We give them protection, military protection. So I'd love to see that. But some people say that would be a long shot. If people wanted to play the game right, it would be 100% certain that they'd become a state.
Recent suggestions by Donald Trump that Canada should become the 51st state may have been provocative, but the idea is not without historical precedent. In the 19th century, some in the United States viewed British-controlled Canada not as a neighbour, but as unfinished business, a northern frontier that might yet fall under American control. In this report, Ian Kennedy explores how Irish revolutionaries, operating from US soil, sought to take advantage of that mindset by attacking Canadian territory. They envisioned a transatlantic campaign for Irish independence, one that might gain momentum through American support.
Tramp, 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 the boys are marching. Cheer up, comrades, let them come. For beneath the Union Jack, we will drive the Fenians back, and we'll fight for our beloved Canadian home.
That is Alan Mills in a song from his 1956 album, O Canada. Mills was an influential Canadian singer who popularised a wide catalogue of the country's folk songs during the 1950s and 1960s. That particular piece of music, to which he gave the simple if prosaic title of Anti-Fenian Song, references events from 1866 when the Fenian Brotherhood attacked Canadian territory. Those events, often described as the Fenian invasion of Canada, are a scarcely believable and often misunderstood story of Irish revolutionary activities. To begin that story, we hear from Dr. John Gibney, Assistant Editor with the Royal Irish Academy's Documents in Irish Foreign Policy programme. He describes the Brotherhood's foundation and its early development.
Much about the precise circumstances of the foundation of the Fenian movement are unclear, but we can say that on the 17th of March 1858, St. Patrick's Day, James Stephens, Thomas Clark Luby and John Denieff founded a secret conspiratorial group in Dublin that was intended to secure Irish independence through force. This obviously wasn't the first group to advocate this, but the Fenians were a far more formidable prospect. The group was known in its early years as the Irish Republican Brotherhood, sometimes the Irish Revolutionary Brotherhood, and it's worth saying that by this time, the mid-19th century, Republican had essentially come to mean a separatist in Irish political life. If Ireland was to get independence through force of arms or others, the hope was it would get it in the form of a republic of some kind. Now, alongside this organisation in Ireland, in 1859, John O'Mahony founded a sister organisation in New York, and the name of that organisation came to be used for the movement on both sides of the Atlantic, the Fenians, or the Fenian Brotherhood.
That brotherhood was formed in the aftermath of the devastation wrought by the famine and during a time of immense Irish emigration to the United States. Those emigrants arrived in the United States, it was increasingly fractious and on the verge of dissolution, a situation that led to the American Civil War, which began in 1861 and which continued for 4 years. An estimated 200,000 Irish soldiers fought in that long and brutal conflict, mostly with the Union Army. Those soldiers drew the attention of the Fenian leadership, as explained by Dr. David Doolan, author of Transnational Revolutionaries, The Fenian Invasion of Canada, 1866.
The Fenian Brotherhood thought that this was a great opportunity, that if we were going to have a revolution in Ireland, if we were going to overthrow British rule, what we needed was trained soldiers. And more to the point, actually, and this is in the records very clearly stated, they wanted military leaders. So it was the leadership that they really wanted. So we might be able to get civilians to come out and hold a gun and fight, but who's going to coordinate all of this? So the Civil War was seen as a great opportunity to do that.
During the war, the Fenians conducted recruitment campaigns, particularly in the Union Army, efforts that were, on the surface, wildly successful. At the war's end in 1865, 50,000 soldiers had committed themselves to the Brotherhood. Yet the Fenian leadership realised that only a fraction of that number was truly willing to take part in military action, perhaps less than 10,000 men. That leadership now faced the question of what to do next. Although the founding aim of the IRB had been to start an Irish rebellion, those plans were then being quashed by the British, who were carrying out mass arrests that gravely weakened the Brotherhood in Ireland. So, some Fenians began to consider a radical new strategy.
All of these things coming together, refocus the energies towards what is then British North America. So not necessarily the Canada that we know today in the 20th and 21st century. It's still a British territory. It's British North America. The soldiers in Canada at the time are the Redcoats. It's the British Army. And for the Fenian Brotherhood, that's the easiest target, to make some sort of a statement. Now, there's lots of ideas embedded in all of that. You have this idea that if the Fenian Brotherhood or the Irish could capture a piece of land and declare it a republic, that it would be like a springboard to actually start a revolution on the island of Ireland. For some, it's more the symbolism of it. It's like, let's strike a blow against the British Empire, and the British Empire are across the border.
The contemporary geopolitical situation, the Fenians believed, also offered a rare opportunity. There had long been a strand of thinking within the United States that advocated annexation of Canadian territory, and the mid-1860s were a time of great tension between the United States and the British Empire, a legacy of British actions during the American Civil War. For the Fenians, it meant that the US was a potential ally in a war against Britain.
There's a lot of anger in the United States towards Britain because they gave the Confederate side in the American Civil War belligerent rights, and then they also allowed the Confederate Navy to outfit their navy, their boats, in British ports. So there's all of this hostility between the US and Britain, and there's an opportunity in the minds of the Fenian Brotherhood to maybe spark an Anglo-American war. So Canada is the most obvious place.
The attitude of the US government was exemplified by its hands-off approach to the Fenians. Although technically the Fenians were an oath-bound secret organization, there was nothing covert about their preparations to attack Canada. Not only did the US government make no effort to hinder those preparations, but the US Army also sold ammunition to the Brotherhood. That ammunition, along with weapons, the Fenians deposited in arms dumps not far from the Canadian border. Their plans, it seemed, were proceeding well, but long-standing tensions within the movement soon threatened the entire strategy.
There's a split in the Fenian Brotherhood, as all good Irish revolutionary movements. People don't see eye to eye, and there's a split. It has to do with the vision of starting a revolution on the island of Ireland by James Stephens, the leader of the IRB, who's very critical of the faction of the Fenian Brotherhood in America who start to make noises about invading Canada. So you're starting to get this split between a vision for we can strike against the British Empire on North American soil, or no, we have to wait and do it in Ireland.
On the one side of this split was John O'Mahony, leader of the Fenian Brotherhood in the United States, who was closely associated with Stephens. They were opposed by another faction led by William Roberts, a very wealthy businessman, and Thomas Sweeney, a former general in the Union Army. It was Roberts and Sweeney who won this battle of the factions, and they directed the Fenians towards an attack on Canadian territory.
The idea was that there should be a three-pronged attack across the border from the US into Canada. The preferred first prong of the attack would have been Detroit, if not Detroit, then from Chicago. The second would be from St. Albans in Vermont. And then the third front, if you like, the third crossing, was from Buffalo, New York.
The attack was scheduled to begin on the 1st of June, 1866. Although when the day arrived, it was immediately apparent that the Fenians' grand strategy was unravelling.
We find out that nothing's going to happen in Detroit, nothing's going to happen in Chicago. There's a delay in St. Albans, but at Buffalo, there's somewhere between 700 and 1,000 men arrive in Buffalo ready to go. To cross the Niagara River, land at a small village called Fort Erie on the Canadian side, and then begin the march inland in order to meet what the Fenians hope will be the Redcoats, the British Army.
The Fenian force that crossed from Buffalo was led by John O'Neill, an experienced soldier who had been an officer in the Union Army. After capturing Fort Erie in a brief skirmish with the Canadian militia, O'Neill marched his men inland towards a place called Ridgeway. There, they encountered a large Canadian force.
When the skirmish begins at Ridgeway, the Fenian Brotherhood, being battle-hardened soldiers, are fearless in that battle. The Canadians don't have the same experience, But they hold their own for a while. But there's a moment when, in the kind of confusion of battle, that somebody on the Canadian side shouts out, "Form square," which is a military maneuver to repel a cavalry. So somebody saw horses coming up from the Fenian side, and it was more than likely it was O'Neill who was on the horse, and somebody on the Canadian side panicked and thought this is a cavalry coming. So they form square, so they all take a knee, holding up their guns with the bayonets to stop the horses. But what they've done is they've become sitting ducks for the Fenian Brotherhood, and they just start picking them off. The Canadians panic, they turn and they flee. They run away. There is about 8 Fenians killed in the skirmishes, and I think close to 10 Canadians are killed in the skirmish as well.
After Ridgeway, O'Neill's scouts informed him that a large force of approximately 5,000 British troops was approaching the area, and he ordered his men back to Fort Erie, where they fought off another small group of Canadian skirmishers. O'Neill still held out hope that Fenian reinforcements would arrive, but he soon received word that none were on the way. Unwilling to risk a fight in such unfavourable circumstances, he ordered his men back to the United States. The Fenians attempted to launch a second, smaller incursion into Canadian territory that same week, but it achieved little before being broken up by US forces. By then, the federal government, perhaps unnerved by the potential for events to spiral out of control, had authorised states along the border to break up the Fenian encampments. The so-called Fenian invasion of Canada was over, although it would long be remembered by both Canadians and Irish Americans.
I think there's kind of mixed emotions about how it's remembered on both sides. I think on the Canadian side, there maybe was an element within military history that it's not a celebratory moment because of the way the actual battles of Ridgeway in particular turned out, when clearly the men ran away. But it was also kind of turned into a story. It was remembered through the lens of, you know, the stereotypes, negative stereotypes of Irish men, drunken, violent Irish men who were a little bit crazy and came across.
In the morning by my side sat the darling of my pride, and our happy children round us were at play. When the news spread through the land that the Fenians were at hand, at our country's call we'll cheerfully obey. Tramp, 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 the boys are marching. Cheer up, comrades, let them come. For beneath the Union Jack, we will drive the Fenians back, and we'll fight for our beloved Canadian home. Should this poor deluded band dare set foot upon our land, or molest the rights of England's noble queen, they will meet with British pluck, English, Irish, Scotch, Canuck, and they'll wish themselves at home again, I ween.
So that legacy, I think, informed the history for a long time, not just in Canada, but I think that seeped into, it became the narrative, certainly in Irish America, certainly in upstate New York, Irish America. When I was doing my research in Buffalo over a decade ago now, talking to the Irish American community, including some politicians, Irish American politicians, the consensus was that they were told not to talk about it, that it was kind of an embarrassing part of Irish American history.
In recent years, through the work of historians such as David Doolin and local endeavours in both Buffalo and Canada, the story of the Fenian invasions has been reinvestigated and placed within its wider historical context. The Fenian raids have come to be seen as a factor in the creation of the Dominion of Canada in July 1867, a key moment in that nation's history. The events of 1866 were part of an intense period of Fenian activity in both Ireland and the United States, including further Fenian incursions into Canada during 1870 and 1871. It was a formative period in Irish revolutionary history, and we close by returning to Dr. John Gibney, who describes the legacy of those events for the Fenians, for Ireland, and for Irish Americans.
By the late 1860s, the Fenians were thinking in terms of carrying out some kind of rebellion in Ireland. They did stage a rebellion in 1867, and while that rebellion failed, the Fenians remained a potent force in Irish life throughout the late 19th century and into the 20th century. The militancy that they represented was quite popular in Irish life. The thought that they were seeking Irish independence in the face of a neglectful and repressive and rapacious British government, as it was perceived. And this was a global movement. So in Ireland and also in North America, it is one of the more significant organisations in Irish life of the 19th century, because while it was a failure in terms of what it sought, it was extremely influential in terms of what it advocated.
Ian Kennelly was reporting there. He was talking to historians David Doolan and John Gibney to discuss the remarkable story behind the so-called Fenian invasion of Canada of 1866, when armed members of the Irish Republican Brotherhood crossed the border from the United States in an attempt to seize Canadian territory.